Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this December 26th. Happy holidays. It's a daily podcast for Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bonser. The hospital in Patrick County, shuttered since 2017, will reopen its doors on January 5th. Tennessee-based owner Brayden Health says that day will mean full restoration of hospital and emergency department services at Stewart Community Hospital, addressing health gaps in the county and surrounding areas. A dedication ceremony for the 25-bed hospital is also being planned for that day. Company founder and CEO Bo Brayden says they're, quote, deeply committed to our mission of breathing new life into rural healthcare facilities, making sure no community is left without essential services. Two prior owners had vowed to renovate and reopen the facility, but those plans were never fulfilled. Brayden acquired the site in November of 2024. Members of the General Assembly are about to consider several bills aimed at affordability. Michael Pope has this preview of one involving debt.
A default judgment is what happens when debt collectors show up in court, but the person they're seeking money from does not. And it allows them to freeze bank accounts and garnish wages. Jay Spear at the Virginia Poverty Law Center says sometimes debt collectors get default judgments based on nothing more than a list of names and dollar amounts they've purchased in bulk.
They sue all these people, and they really don't have any proof that you're the person that owes the debt, that the amount they're suing you for is accurate, or even that they have the right to sue you, because it could be that your debt is not actually in that trust, and you can't really check that. Or they may have sold the debt to somebody else. That happens sometimes.
Delegate Marcus Simon is a Democrat from Fairfax County who has a bill aimed at fixing what he says is a broken system.
What the bill does essentially says is, let's lay down some basic minimum standards that you have to have when you show up in court and claim somebody owes you a debt, other than you serve them with process. So whether it's a document that proves that there's a contract and that there's debt that's been defaulted on, whether it's proof that you actually are the owner of it, can you show some sort of chain of custody that shows that the debt went from the original creditor through somebody else and to you?
He says the language of the bill comes from the nonpartisan Uniform Law Commission, because predatory debt collecting has been a problem in several other states. I'm Michael Pope.
And coming up in a few minutes from Michael and Radio IQ politics analyst Jeff Shapiro, their final conversation of 2025, talking about the year in state politics and government. We'll have that up shortly. Old Dominion University has released its annual State of the Commonwealth report. Nick Gilmore has details on the findings, which look into Virginia's economic well-being.
The State of the Commonwealth report investigates economic metrics from across Virginia, from Roanoke to Richmond to Northern Virginia to Hampton Roads. Researchers say 2025 was a tough year for many Virginians thanks to federal job cuts, reductions in non-defense spending, and continued tariffs on imported goods. They point to Virginia slipping to fourth place in CNBC's annual ranking of the best states in the country to do business as a sign of that. The Commonwealth finished first in 2024. The report recognizes that Virginia's economy will always be heavily tied to the federal government, thanks to its large military presence and proximity to Washington. However, Virginia will need to find ways to diversify its economy in order to improve resiliency in the face of continued policy uncertainty. I'm Nick Gilmore.
Roanoke Area Ministries will move to a new location in 2026. Since 1971, the Ram House has operated a day shelter in a former church on Campbell Avenue. Executive Director Melissa Woodson says the pandemic exacerbated problems, complicating mental illnesses and substance use disorder, and the population has increased in age as people lost their homes due to rising housing prices.
Every year, it's gotten worse and worse and worse in terms of numbers. Currently, we're seeing a lot of elderly people. At the Ram House, we have people with wheelchairs, people with walkers. I've seen someone with a trach, stomach tube. It's almost like an adult care facility regarding homeless individuals at the Ram House these days.
In early 2024, Ram purchased a property a few blocks away on Elm Avenue. With the help of Prabhat Jain, CEO of Virginia Transformer Corporation, and his wife, Vandana, the new facility will feature more services through partnerships with Brain Injury Solutions, Carilion Clinic, Brightview, and Virginia Harm Reduction. Woodson says the move should be complete by mid-2026. 195 years ago, Mary Ann Meacham was living her first days as a free woman. born on a plantation in Virginia, sold for $450 when she was 12, Meacham endured 17 years of abuse before prying open a window, hiding on a farm and in woods near the coast, and stowing away on a British ship. Now, thanks to the BBC and historians here in Virginia, we're learning more about her life, as Sandy Houseman reports.
For nearly two centuries, the story of Marianne Meacham has rested untold in archives. But this year, a teacher in England found and shared Meacham's account with the BBC. That led reporter Jane Downs to call the Virginia Museum of History and Culture, where historians searched their collection and discovered a letter written by an English minister at Marianne's request. Associate curator Elizabeth Klasinski says it was addressed to Marianne's mother, an enslaved woman named Judith.
It's extraordinary because this is a white man in the UK writing back to an enslaved woman in Virginia. It's a really poignant story about how her daughter is okay, right? Like, her daughter is safe, her daughter made it, and now she's free.
The letter explains how another slave hid Marianne in a haystack and persuaded the mate on a ship bound for England to take her. He hid Marianne in the hold among water casks, where she survived the ocean crossing and was taken in by a Quaker family when the ship docked at a port in North Shields. There she would work for them, marry, and live until the age of 91. Marianne knew she would not see her mother again. "Your daughter prays for you, though you may never look each other in the face in this world," the minister wrote. "She would not lose hope of seeing you in the world beyond the grave." I'm Sandy Houseman.
The year is coming to a close, but the last full week of 2025 has had quite a bit of activity in state politics and government. Michael Pope and Radio IQ Politics analyst Jeff Shapiro discuss.
All right, a lot of news to get to this holiday week. Certainly not a holiday for the news. Jeff Shapiro, let's start with Abigail Spanberger filling out her cabinet, specifically finance secretary, tapping a well-known, longtime member of the House of Delegates, Mark Sickles. What does this say? What does this tell us about the incoming Spanberger administration?
Michael, this is the third member of the General Assembly who will be giving up a clearly safe seat in Mark Sickles' case, one in Northern Virginia, in the House of Delegates, to become Secretary of Finance. This is an important, perhaps the most important secretariat. This is where the money is. I think this is a real sign that Spanberger is very serious about running Virginia's government, say, in contrast with her predecessor, Glenn Youngkin, who seemed very serious about running for president and whose picks for cabinet seem to be all about his national profile as a business executive turned state chief executive who should be taken very seriously for the presidency. Mark Sickles is the head of the General Assembly's watchdog agency, JLARC. He's also a ranking Democrat on the appropriations. That's the budget writing committee. Mark Sickles knows where the money is. And it's important to note, he gets along with Democrats and Republicans.
And then turning our attention to Hampton Roads, or perhaps the waters off of Hampton Roads, the Trump administration is pulling the plug on Dominion Energy's huge coastal Virginia offshore wind farm. Jeff Shapiro, what does this tell us about Virginia's energy politics?
Well, you know, Donald Trump killed off about a half a dozen of these Atlantic wind farms. The Dominion project off the Virginia coast, the largest of those. Glenn Youngkin had lobbied the Trump administration to preserve this wind farm as part of, you know, Youngkin's all of the above energy program. That he could not convince the president to do so, I suspect, is a measure of the governor's weakness, if you will, with the White House. But I think more importantly, it's a swipe at the Democratic governor-elect, Abigail Spanberger, who's talked a lot about affordability on, among other matters, energy, and who is promising to name an energy czar.
And then at the University of Virginia, they are about to get a new president. But is this guy going to even last through the month of January?
Good question. Scott Beardsley is the head of the Darden School of Business, a nationally prominent school of business administration at the University of Virginia. He's been at the Darden School for about 10 years. He got his start in business, certainly elevated his profile in business as a partner in the McKinsey partnership, management consultancy where Glenn Youngkin got his start. But long story short, this was a selection by a Youngkin-controlled board of visitors that has not been fully constituted because of this running legal dispute between Youngkin and the Democrats in the General Assembly. And the big question is, how long will Beardsley have this job, if at all? Patrick Hope, a Democratic delegate from Northern Virginia, commented on Twitter, X, that is, congratulations, Mr. Beardsley, on your interim appointment. Perhaps a Spanberger-loaded board will have a different choice for UVA president.
All right. Well, we'll have to keep an eye on that in the new year, because that's all the time that we've got for this year. My name is Michael Pope, and we have been joined by politics analyst and UVA scholar Jeff Shapiro. Talk to you next year.
Ho, 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 and best for 26.
Now, looking at the forecast, some rain will continue and pretty cloudy headed into the weekend. Some showers today that may mix in some frozen precipitation at times in northern parts of the listening area, including Fredericksburg. Breezy and a wide range of highs from 38 in Charlottesville and Fredericksburg to around 63 for Wise and Bristol. Some rain sticks around tonight, a little breezy in western Virginia. Lows from 37 in Charlottesville and Fredericksburg to 53 in Wise and Bristol. Cloudy Saturday, little breezy. Highs from the low 50s for Charlottesville to upper 60s for Roanoke and Southside. Sunday, still cloudy. Slight chance for some rain, little breezy. Highs in the low 50s to lower 60s. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand, and a little reminder to subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.